Hello, everyone. My name is David Smith, and this is the Armchair Commentary. On this week's episode, I'm joined by guests Phil Borg and Danny Fife to break down the upcoming UFC 264 McGregor-Poirier 3. We give our picks on the fight through the main card. We also touch on the MLB's All-Star voting and the NBA Finals. If you're not already subscribed to this podcast, please make sure to hit that sub button, share it with your friends. If you're looking for merch, you can find us at TeePublic or Redbubble. Just search Armchair Commentary. And you can also find us on YouTube. Check us out over at youtube.com/armchaircommentary. You'll find all of our latest episodes up there as well as a few classics. So without further ado, UFC 264 McGregor-Poirier 3. Back again with another episode. This weekend coming up, we have UFC 264. So I asked good friend Fight Night Phil coming back, and friend of the show Danny Fife back on the show again. Gentlemen, welcome back.
Dave, how's it going? Danny, nice to see your ugly ass too.
Glad to have you fellas on. So we've got a hell of a card here. The prelims, early prelims, and the main card are all stacked. Phil, you had some thoughts. I know we're going to go through the main card, but just want to kick off this Nico Price, Michelle Pereira prelim fight. You like a lot.
Yeah, this fight card of the year here.
You think?
I mean, this has potential to just be the show of the year, all the way from the early prelims through the prelims and then the main card. But yeah, the one fight we're talking about here, the Michelle Pereira and Nico Price fight. These Michelle Pereira is he's a showman. He comes out there, he's that dance fighting.
Capoeira?
Yes, he's a capoeira. He comes out and does all kinds of crazy weird capoeira moves, and Nico Price, that dude is he's a wrestler. It's going to be an interesting fight. Michelle Pereira is the only one that's ever beaten Chaos Williams, and you know I'm a huge Michigan supporter. Chaos Williams is one of the top guys in this in the welterweight division. But that fight right there has potential to be fight of the night out of all of them on the preliminary cards is the Pereira and Nico Price fight.
Yeah, it looks pretty good from all viewings from the beginning. The odds are pretty close.
I'll say they're almost even. Pereira is a slight favorite in that fight. My money, it's a pick'em fight, in my opinion. If I had to bet on one, I'd have to go with Michelle.
Yeah, for sure. Danny, what do you think about that Pereira Price? Odds are so close. And it is a prelim, but it looks like a pretty impressive bout to begin with.
Well, everybody likes a guy who showboats. I mean, look how popular Conor got so quick, you know what I mean, with his showboatiness. But he had a lot of technique to back it up. But you almost can't – I don't think you can beat – you know, they always tell you back to the basics. You know, guys, this goes with techniques and a wrestling background, obviously, in UFC. If you can't wrestle, you're not going to make it very far in UFC. Not that, you know, Price is the king of wrestling, but at the same time, you know, he seems like more of the square on, you know, textbook kind of guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, no, that's great points. Yeah, because Pereira, he's gotten caught being flashy and has lost close fights just trying to just be that showboat. So yeah. I could see the wrestling back to the basics, get him on the ground. Keeps it to the ground, it could go Price's way. So like I said, it's a toss-up fight.
And that's why the odds are so tight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we look over at the first fight on the main card, this one seems to be the most ludicrous out of all of the fights. It's got to be the most like insane. It's first off, it's the craziest odds.
Talk about feeding yourself a fucking tomato can.
Yeah, yeah. Phil, you were mentioning that O'Malley got the guy he was going to fight had to back out. This is a 2-week notice.
I believe it was like 2 weeks. Yeah. It was a short notice.
But he got called out by other fighters, didn't he?
Current UFC fighters on the roster. Top 15 guys were calling him out. He claims that he's going to be bigger than Conor McGregor. The blue and yellow hair, the flat. There's no, he's just one of those cocky, arrogant. He's feeding himself an easy win, I feel like. In his last fight, he went out there and knocked out the last guy. It was in the first round. Oh, third round against Thomas Alameda. But I mean, he hasn't. Yeah, he's on a 3-fight win streak. But if you look at the records, there, the guys he's fought.
It's not anything crazy.
They're nobody impressive. I mean, Alameda was one, and then he lost to Marlon Vera.
Yeah,
that's the fight that needs to happen again. Is those two need to go back?
I mean, look, I think O'Malley probably wins this fight. But as I was mentioning before we went live, if you're looking for like a place to put a little bit of dough, just a small bet,
you got a few dollars to that you can afford to lose and potentially make a nice little chunk of change. Throw 10 or 20 bucks on Matino with those. He's negative 500, 550 underdog.
Yeah, it's the biggest underdog you're going to see on this card. I know
betting on O'Malley would be pointless because those odds, you'd have to bet so much money to make a dollar.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think, Danny?
I think it's smart. You know, a lot of guys get in this sport. I mean, UFC is not obviously not easy anyway, but, you know, to be on a win streak and, I think he's playing a good head game there. You know what I mean? All these guys trying to get in his head, calling him out, top 15 guys. He doesn't have experience, you know, yet. And I don't think it's dumb. I don't think it's dumb for him to take it easy.
Smart business move, but it just makes you look like a chicken shit when you claim you're going to be bigger than Conor McGregor.
I mean, maybe it's some reverse psychology because they're going to be like, oh, well, he's scared. He doesn't want to fight anybody. He might go in there and destroy this dude and then run his whole way to the top. Be like, well, I just wanted to stick my toe in the water before I came in and swam with the sharks, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of guys who have definitely taken on a bigger fish way too early. Like, mm-hmm. There are guys that are up and comers that say, yes, give me the top guy. Give me the big guy. Give me the shark. Let me show you how good I am. I'm going to be a contender and get killed. So
yeah, right, props to Matina. How many dudes in their debut can say that they fought on a pay-per-view card?
Right.
The main card of a pay-per-view.
I just hope he gets paid for it. I just hope he gets paid for it.
I'm sure he's going to be compensated, but.
You know, short notice.
Let's say you got to think it's going to be a big, like, it's going to be a big deal. Pay-per-view, you know, it's your first event.
Is the pressure going to get to him?
Have a whole slew of other stuff on his mind than, you know, like where he's at. He's going to be in probably a bigger arena. Where's this at?
Great question.
Let me see. T-Mobile Arena?
Yeah, T-Mobile. Yeah, T-Mobile.
Yeah, so Vegas.
So.
Crowd, this is going to be one with a crowd, not at the Apex. So,
I wonder. I'm really curious to see what some of the props are going to be on this bout, because I'm wondering if there's smart money on Matino putting up a show. Like, guy's in his debut, and maybe he doesn't get the win. Maybe O'Malley
or betting him to last all three rounds.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if the money's there, if the bet is there, if it's, you know. Is he going to put on a show, or is he going to be like a round one, like 30-second TKO, you know, kick to the face here? I'm curious to see what happens. And I think that there's probably opportunity here to make a couple of bucks on the underdog. If I'm looking at it just from a betting perspective, from a fighting perspective, I don't see how O'Malley should lose this, but you never know.
I'd like him to lose.
Stranger things happen in the UFC.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you never know. But see, I usually try not to rely on the haymakers. Those are just wild, you know. Guys throwing haymakers and whatnot. Like I said, that's why I'd go with technique before flash, you know, even though some of these dudes have come out with rainbow unicorn sprinkles in their hair and are all vibrant and whatnot, they can still get put to sleep just like everybody else.
Absolutely. Irene Aldana and Yana Kunitskaya, because we don't want to have easy names to pronounce here, are fighting in the women's bantamweight belt. Pretty tight odds on this one again. Danny, you got any thoughts on this fight right here, just off the get?
Well, I think Yana has a few more fights, if I remember right. So, I mean, I've only seen a few women's fights anyway, but I always try to go with experience, especially. I think
she's got two more fights than Irene.
Yeah, she's got, I think, two more wins. I think she had, like, she might have a few more losses. I think she's like six, she's got 16 wins and the other one has 14, but it's just, I try to go with experience. That's where I live, is in the experience.
This is an interesting matchup on the card too.
Yeah,
Yana's on a 3-fight win streak, where Aldana's on a 2-fight skid.
Yeah, see, that'd be the worst, going in knowing you're fighting somebody that's fighting, you know, good, you know, and has figured out something that works.
But to her credit, Aldana's lost to Raquel Pennington, one of the top bantamweights, and Holly Holm.
Right. It's not like she's losing to, like you said, tomato cans here, right?
Yeah.
Aldana's actually the favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow, yeah.
The favorite in this. So it's, and again, but this, like, and this is, you know, when Phil mentioned earlier, this could be fight card of the year. Everybody's close. There's not someone that outside of that O'Malley fight, in the main card, everybody's like, we're talking 125 favorite versus 100. We're not talking a huge amount of difference here.
Not too bad.
No.
I mean, I don't know how to pick this one. Aldana's, her career is on the line. I mean, you're on a 2-fight skid. You lose another one. I mean, next thing you know, Dana White's calling you and saying, sorry, we're not renewing your contract.
It's crazy how critically good you have to be, especially in UFC. People don't understand. It's not like a farm team in baseball where you can go, you know, double A and then triple A and have all the whole year, 100-some games to prove that you're worth it. You know, you get a few fights a year, probably.
Four max, maybe.
Yeah, and that's
your livelihood. Fighting every 3 months if you don't get hurt.
Yeah, and that's your livelihood for, you know, however long you can fight. It's crazy.
I mean, I have friends that are struggling, that they work at the gym just so they can work out for free. And it's insane how little money they give up for this dream.
Yeah, and it's not an easy dream to realize. Aldana's the number 4 rank. Kunitskaya is number 5. So I have to imagine that Kunitskaya, with a win, would put herself in the conversation for contender for the title.
Who is the bantamweight champ right
Rose
now?
Rose have it? Is it Rose?
Oh, yeah, it is Thug Rose.
That would put her right in that conversation, I would say. Same thing with Aldana, though. If Aldana wins this, it's right back to making a push. My money would be on Aldana, just because I don't – when there's that much on the line, I feel like your focus has to be, like, hyper-vigilant. And it's not the be-all, end-all for Kunitskaya.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a 3-round. It'll go to a split decision. More than likely. I feel like it's going to be a 3-round battle.
Yeah.
I don't think either is going to knock out the other.
It'd be awesome to see, though.
It would. It would. The next fight, I hope somebody gets knocked out, though.
Yeah, Phil has, you know, strong words for one of the competitors, the Prince of War.
Is that what he calls himself?
Greg Hardy versus Tai Tuivasa. Bam Bam.
The Prince of War.
Yep, the Prince of War.
The Prince of Fouls. Like, that dude is garbage. Eye pokes, kicks you in the nuts, knees you in while you're on the ground. How many? This dude's got how many no contests? At least two.
He's got one no contest.
One no contest.
Yeah, 7 wins, 3 losses, 1 no contest.
He's only there because of I played in the NFL. That's literally how they put him. I think they brought him in too early.
Yeah,
because the UFC does have a farm league.
They bring him in as a hype man.
Because they have, I know fighters here in Michigan. They go and train at the Performance Institute down there, and they'll set up guys that they want to bring into the UFC on regional cards to get them prepared, while giving them all the other UFC benefits. And I feel like they should have done that with Hardy rather than, oh, hey, he played for what, the Cowboys?
Oh,
or who did he? Is that who he played for? Played for somebody in the fucking NFL.
Greatest team in America.
Awful.
And Tai Tuivasa, he's that Hawaiian warrior. He's not the fittest. He's got that gut.
Yeah, but I love seeing those guys fight, man. He's just a big dude. He can throw knuckles and he can take a hit. I like it. I got Tuivasa in 2 rounds or less.
Yes, I see it lasting. Yeah. Round and a half.
I hope.
I hope.
More like getting in a bar fight with one of those dudes. You know, it's not really like, you know, you can punch him in the gut. It's not really going to hurt, but he's going to knock your teeth out if he gets hold of you. One of those dudes you don't want to fight, but now you're in there, so you're kind of stuck.
Definitely.
Or Hardy will take another foul. He's not mentally. He's not mentally mature in his fight game. Takes stupid fouls. He gets too pumped up and overhyped, and he gasses himself out way too early.
Yeah, I think this is going to be Danny, you talked about it earlier with the Aldana fight. I think experience wins out here. I mean, we're talking Tuivasa's got 15 fights. Hardy's got 10, 11. But it's not the same when you're like we're talking about
the amount of talent they fought.
Yeah.
Well, that like you said, 4 fights over, you know, 1 every 3 months, another year's worth of experience, a whole year. You know what I mean? That's, it goes a long way.
Yeah. Moving up the card, we've got probably the fight that I'm most looking forward to, which is Gilbert Burns, Stephen Thompson. Phil, you're on record as saying Thompson's too old. I'm going to tell you, if Stephen Thompson watches this, shout out Stephen Thompson, but I don't think Phil needs to worry about it. He is the favorite in this fight, though. So you've got Gilbert Burns coming on his revenge tour.
Okay.
On this, right?
I said he was old for the fight game. He's 38.
I know.
I mean, he's ripped like a fucking 20-year-old, though. The dude's ripped like a fucking 20-year-old in his prime.
I'm going to have to start the 38. I'm going to have to start getting beeps for Phil to back this truck up even farther.
But look at him. He's 1-1 in his last two.
Yeah.
He got knocked out by Pettis and then grinded out a 5-round decision with Jeff Neal. Who's one of the top guys in the welterweight division. I mean, that's nobody to slouch at. And you got Burns, who coming off a loss. He got knocked out by Usman.
Yeah.
So, revenge tour, trying to get back up there, or do we have the old man proves that he's still got it?
Yeah, Danny, are you going experience on this one, or are you going with the revenge tour? Because they're both super valid narratives.
Burns actually has more fights.
A lot of these fights where, you know, you start talking about the revenge tour, I mean, that can fuel a lot of even a guy with a lot of skill that's back angry, you know. Of course, we'll talk about the McGregor fight here in a little bit, but, you know, when you get to fighting a guy 2 or 3 times and you get, you know,
he was on a 6-fight win streak going into that.
Oh yeah. I think that can fuel it some, but it also makes you make hasty decisions sometimes. And so, still, you can't beat experience and you can't beat experience in time, you know? So,
yeah, for sure. So, Phil, who are you?
It's only a 4-year age difference, with Burns having 2 more fights than Thompson. And if it comes to a grappling fight, I mean, Burns is a 3-time world champion and a World Cup gold medalist in grappling. Thompson's more of a stand-up kind of guy. He's a kickboxer. Was undefeated through 37 in amateur and 20 professional matches. So it's a battle. It's a test of 2 different types of skills. You're going to have the grappling versus the kickboxing. The odds are super close. I'm going revenge tour.
What about you, Danny?
I think I'll switch out of my typical experience and try revenge as well, because I mean, you can't beat an angry man sometimes.
I will make it 3 for 3. I think Burns takes this. And that's my pick of the night.
Underdog pick of the night.
And lastly, on our main card, we've got Dustin Poirier, Conor McGregor. Now, first, let me say, Poirier and McGregor have both fought a ton. And I respect Conor for his mouth game and when he was younger, being able to back it up. But at this point, is he not just a guy who's fighting out his contract? He's just is he really like, I know he says he's putting in the work, and I'm sure
he is. He's only 32.
He's got 27 fights, though.
That's crazy.
And Poirier's got 33 fights.
Yeah.
They're both 32 years old. In their primes. I mean, yes, he made that $100 million in his Floyd fight. He's got a successful whiskey company. He doesn't have to fight. I mean, yeah, I don't think he's fighting out his contract. I think he's just making smart business moves.
And this is a title fight, right? Or no?
No. This is just a tiebreaker.
Just a rematch, third fight between them.
They've each won one fight, I believe. I believe this is their third time they're fighting.
It is the third one.
Yeah, McGregor won one. Poirier won the last one.
Well, when McGregor and Poirier fought the first time, McGregor was like David said, he was a lot more. He was a lot more mouth. He had a lot more hype about him. And then he had some things go on in his life. And then he met Poirier again and got knocked out. And then, you know, he went through some legal troubles there for a minute. And even in his press conferences now, I think he's a lot more tame.
Also, their first fight was 7 years ago, 2014.
Yeah.
The first time they fought. And then they fight again in what was it? Early this year, January.
Yeah.
And Poirier was young in his career when he was fighting McGregor. I feel like he'd just broken into the UFC back then. I think they both did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Conor's overhyped. It's cost me too much money.
I'll be honest, I'm going Conor on this fight.
He doesn't train like he used to.
I know, but I'll tell you why I'm going that way. So I think that in January when he got knocked out, I think that there's something in you that like clicks that goes, "Oh, right, fighting. That thing that I used to be really good at, I got to work it's at like again."
Riding a bicycle.
Yeah, I think he just needs to he needed to shake off the rust, and I think getting knocked out probably didn't feel great for him. It probably wasn't a high point in his career. Like you said, he's got great business sense. He's a smart guy. Like, I'm not taking anything away from Conor as a businessman or as a, you know, he's got his family. He's doing all of that. But when it comes to the fight game, I think that that may have just shaken him a little bit and be like, wait a minute. The Notorious isn't good enough anymore. No. Let's walk that back.
And he is 10-3 in the UFC.
I think he comes out strong. I think he comes out strong and goes hard at him. I know that Poirier is going to be looking for the same result. And I think that when you're in the underdog position, you do things differently. And Poirier may be looking at this and going, I'm going to replicate what I did last time, which is I'm going to look for an opening. And Connor may have been arrogant and not thinking about that he was going to get clocked, and then he did. And he's just going to, I think he's going to come out smarter. I think he's going to be more opportunistic this bout than he was the last time, which got him crushed.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to, I mean, it's hard to tell because, you know, like you said, if him getting knocked out refueled that fire that he had when he first met, you know, and he comes out all hyped up and stuff, you know, and like he said, that was 7 years ago. So, I mean, his body's taking a toll. His body's taking a, but they both probably taken a good beating in 7 years. I can imagine fighting for 7 minutes, let alone for 7 years, you know? Yeah. And it's, you can't really go with experience anymore because Poirier's, you know,
they're doing even,
so
they're pretty much, well, Poirier has seven more fights than McGregor does.
Yeah.
I think McGregor, without all the hype, like from the beginning, if he would just been, you know, of course, you know, he could back it up for a while. He did his thing, but I think if he comes in a little more level headed, I think McGregor might have the edge, but it's only time will tell. It's hard to make a pick on this one.
Well, the odds, it's a pick 'em fight. They're both negative. At least on CBS odds, it's Poirier -105. McGregor -115. So I guess you could say McGregor's a slight favorite there, but it's Vegas is having a hard time on this one.
Vegas is having a hard time with this whole card.
Oh yeah, they're either going to get toasted or they'll luck out. I'm sure they'll be fine, but
the money will flow out at some point.
There's only one other somewhat crazy odds, and that's way down at the bottom of the card where somebody's a 400 favorite and a 320 underdog. But other than that, all of these are fucking almost identical.
Yeah, like the early prelims have Rivera as a big underdog. I'm not going to say the guy's first name. Zlagas.
Ooh.
Zumagulov. Yeah.
Zumagulov, something like that.
Yeah, he's like -360. Favorite, so there's not a ton. All right, I'm gonna force you guys to pick though. Poirier or McGregor?
Poirier. I'm going with the diamond.
And what do you got, Danny?
I'm going McGregor. One more for Ireland.
Let's do it. Before I let you guys get out of here, I got two non-fight related things I just wanted to cover. We're both sports fans anyway. Bucks and Suns, NBA Finals. Who you got and why?
Dude, the NBA is shitting their pants right now. Yeah. Talk about two of the worst NBA markets in the finals. World. Only thing that would have made it worse is if it was the Jazz.
Yes. Or if Charles Barkley had never played for the Suns. That would be the only thing that would be worse.
Can you imagine the NBA looks at the start of the NBA playoffs and goes, we've got the Lakers and the Clippers, and we've got Luka's playing well, so we got some all-star power, and we got the Knicks in there. There's going to be the Celtics are, we're good. The Sixers are playing, we're going to be fine. Everything's good. And then you roll the dice and you get Phoenix and Phoenix, you get Milwaukee,
and their star blows his whole leg apart
yeah.
in the last game on top of that.
So your most marketable star in Milwaukee is what, Chris Middleton? Is that who we're talking about?
It's got to be now.
So who do you got?
Yeah,
they got
Bogdan.
They got Bogdan. Yeah, Bogdan's good.
Going off in the playoffs.
Right.
But I don't think they're going to deny Chris Paul his first ring.
Yeah, I think Chris Paul's bringing it home. I mean, the Bucks have a young team. I mean,
if Giannis didn't get hurt, it'd be a different story.
Yeah,
and Suns in six.
Close. Yeah.
I'm saying Suns in five. I think they want it worse. I mean, I think
the Bucks take at least one.
Yeah, the Bucks might win one game, but I'm thinking it's going to be five games.
Yeah. And recently, obviously, Danny and I, we had a chat about the sticky stuff. Major League Baseball has had a crazy crackdown. And all of a sudden, we're seeing guys like Gerrit Cole.
Max Scherzer.
Have his ERA boom.
Oh, that.
His ERA is up to, like, I think it was like, it's up, but I think his ERA over the last, like, since enforcement is at like six.
Yeah.
he's getting absolutely killed. Do you think this is like do you think this is a guy going through a tough time at the wrong time? Because that, I don't think Gerrit Cole's that bad. I don't think he's as good as,
I think he's overhyped.
Yeah. But is this an instance of like really bad timing for a slump to come along?
I mean, I would say it probably is. I mean, a lot of these guys, all of them, even if they had an advantage of some type, you're talking minor advances on like an RPM, you know, or four seamer or something. You're not talking something that I'm not going to throw a curveball that's going to move a foot and a half to 6 inches because I don't have something on my fingers. I mean, these guys are still professional athletes. I would say I'm saying slump at the wrong time. I think he's having a bad time at the wrong time. I think that's what's happening.
What do you think, Phil?
No, I'd have to agree with Danny on this one. I feel like this rule, it needed to happen, but they wanted to speed up the game, right? So they added this Bush League.
I know.
Let's add us a runner to second base to start out extra innings to speed it up. But now we see when what's his name calls out Max Scherzer constantly. Was it four different fucking times they went out there?
Oh yeah. Yes, he eventually just stripped down. I mean, you might as well just. I mean,
at that point, just fucking drop Trout.
Yeah,
unreal. We also had our All-Star teams announced, and last week I did my video on the MVP. Oh, I know you guys saw it, so let me ask you this: how incredible is what Shohei Ohtani is doing right now, Major? I'm not going to ask you guys about. Obviously, I have my opinions about what Vladdy is doing. I think that he's incredible, and I think that he's not getting, if not for Shohei, he would be like the runaway star of Major League Baseball right now, just the way he's hitting. And it's not just home runs. He's hitting all over the park. But what Shohei is doing right now has got to be some of the most incredible, baseball we've witnessed in the last ever. I don't know. Babe Ruth was before my time.
Yeah, nobody that we've ever seen has ever done anything like this. And
modern day Babe.
Yeah, I mean,
and after Tommy John, that's what makes it even more impressive.
So yeah, you've never seen a pitcher hit like Ohtani. First of all, you've never seen a hitter pitch like Ohtani. I mean, it's this dude. There's a video of him on YouTube when he was playing in Japan. He hit a ball through a dome, like not out of it, like it didn't come back down. Like, nobody understood. Even Mike Trout said, he's like, I've never seen a guy hit and throw a ball. He said he can hit a baseball 500 feet, and he can throw one 100 mile an hour. He said, I've never seen anything like it. This is Mike Trout, one of probably the most prestigious, sought-after guys in the game, telling you this. And Ohtani's proven it. He might have 60 home runs this year.
They're both being failed by their organization.
Yeah, the Angels have done them absolutely no favors putting talent. You've got two guys doing everything. And I think Phil and I briefly chatted when I put up the Vladdy video, which admittedly is a bit of a troll. I'm fully aware of how incredible Ohtani is. I just think.
You know what's a troll? It's the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Go they want to focus on up-and-coming rising talent, yet the. There's so many other people more deserving that should be in this All-Star game than some of these starters. Trout's been injured and he's in the fucking All-Star game. Yeah, they're going to elect an alternative, but like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Cedric Mullins has 100 hits already before the All-Star break and he didn't even get a nod. Not even like a look.
Casey Mize as a rookie should be there. Yeah, crazy. The Tigers are sending Gregory Soto, who's fucking a garbage reliever.
His name's Soto, though.
He could throw 100 miles an hour, but has zero control over it.
All right, so let's go through the elected starter. These are the elected starters for the AL. Sal Perez, yay or nay?
That's a good one.
Vladdy? Yep.
No. Well, yes. Obviously.
Marcus Semien. Now, you guys haven't watched as much Jays as I have. I can tell you he's on fire.
Huh. Caught fire at the right time, or was he good all year?
Oh, he's been good all year.
Well, that's the thing is that they open up the ballots at what, opening day? So you could just start voting for anybody before they've even played?
Yeah. Devers and Bogarts.
Yeah, they're both. I think they're both good.
Trout, Judge, and Hernandez.
Aren't Trout and Judge both hurt?
Yeah, I think
so. They were both hurt a lot this year. I know that. I know Judge was hurt.
And then Ohtani. And then they have
Ohtani should be playing. He should be batting and
he is
pitching.
He is. He's DH. Yeah. Yeah. He's starting. It's the first time ever in history that an all-star player has started pitching and hit at the same time.
Now, crazy. On the National League, we've got Buster Posey, Freddie Freeman,
wow,
Adam Frazier, Nolan Arenado, which, okay, yeah, Tatis Jr., okay.
Yeah, there's sure. one. The infield sucks. The outfield's loaded, though. I can promise you that.
Acuna, Castellanos, and Jesse Winker.
Castellanos is probably one of the best hitters in baseball right now.
Yeah. Oh, killing it.
Tell me this. How was DeGrom not the starter?
Oh gosh!
Who'd they give the starter to?
Hold on, I have it listed here.
I honestly think they just sometimes they just can't decide. They just pick a number or like the name out of a hat.
I think it was Corbin Burns or one of those other. I don't remember who it was. It's not DeGrom.
That's crazy.
And they didn't send. It should be yeah. And they didn't pick who's the closer for the Mets right now. I forget who it is anyway. Whoever it is, they picked him too. And it's just kind of – they have Aroldis Chapman going for the
Edwin Diaz?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of unreal. Anyway.
Aroldis will be the closer for the Yankees for probably the rest of his life until his arm falls off, detaches at the shoulder.
Good. Let the Yankees collapse. I'm fine with
that. Yeah, I think the All-Star game should work. They should pick a first and second team, and the second team should play so that way the good guys don't get hurt. Because if Ohtani goes out there, he's going to be in the home run contest, which I want to see it. Yeah, I mean, I'm not against that. But
I hate it so much, Danny.
I guess it's not pointless because whoever wins gets home field advantage in the World Series, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll tell you, I don't mind the All-Star game having that impact. I think it's important, but I think
it should, because otherwise it's a useless game and you're risking your career for entertainment for the fans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Derby and stuff. That's all. I mean, why? You know, I mean, everybody wants
cool,
to see
we get a trophy.
Derby. Yeah, but I mean, I don't want to see Ohtani go out there or Tatis go out there. I mean, Tatis
a lot of shoulder or something
this year. You know, watch Ohtani go out there and accidentally mess up his right shoulder, which is his throwing shoulder, and, you know, not be able to bat and ruin an epic year.
Well, let's not forget the cautionary tale of Josh Hamilton, who went out in the home run derby after just absolutely annihilating the AL in homers when he was with the Rangers the first time. And he was just absolutely killing it. And then all of a sudden he went out into the home run derby and he hit whatever record it was. I don't remember how many. It was like almost 40, I think.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And then he couldn't hit the rest of the year. And it happens a lot. It happened to Vladdy in his rookie season. He got called up and you start trying to hit dingers and you're doing it for fun. And yeah, it's fun and it's fun in games. And, you know, there's always going to be someone that's willing to do it. But I would much rather send – like a BP dinger champ to the derby. I'd rather send like someone who's like a I would rather send Rowdy Tellez if I'm the Jays to the home run derby than Vlad Guerrero Jr., who's not participating. I'm not saying he is, but I would rather send a guy like Rowdy, who's a come off the bench and DH guy, as opposed to one of my superstars who I desperately need to hit all year long. And I'm so worried for Ohtani, given the fact that he had Tommy John already. He's pitching out of his head. He's hitting out of his head. And now he's going to go in this exhibition long ball competition for the fans. And it's like,
I predict a short-term illness arises right before this All-Star game, and he's not able to participate. He's either going to go in and hit like 647 home runs and throw the ball like 110 mile an hour, or he's not going to show up at all.
Which he's going to get that Miami flu.
Yeah, that would be the
sunny day flu.
That would be the smartest thing the Angels have done since not giving him a Trout anybody to play with.
Yeah, I don't know. Gents, it's been fun. I have some playoff hockey to watch tonight, so wish me luck.
Is this do or die?
It's do or die. Yeah, it's do or die. At the time of this recording, it is do or die. So
what are they? Is it 3-0 or 3-1?
It's 3-0. We're in the throes. So it's been fun. We'll have you guys back on when we do our football episode.
No, yes, sir. Sounds good.
We're looking forward to it.
Thanks, fellas.
I'll root for the Canadians tonight just for you.
Just appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
All right, guys.
Yeah. See ya.
And that does it for this week's episode of the Armchair Commentary. I'd like to thank Danny and Phil for taking time out of their day to talk about the UFC with us. Again, the picks are up on our Instagram. Check it out at Armchair Commentary. You can find us on Twitter at Armchair Comment 2. Don't forget to sub. Don't forget to like. Make sure you're following us on the socials. If you're not already, head over to YouTube and subscribe. Hit that bell notification so you never miss an episode of the Armchair Commentary. And don't forget to share it with your friends. Congratulations to the Tampa Lightning on winning the Stanley Cup. It has been a wacky week in the world of sports. I can't wait to do it again next week. Thanks for listening.